Okay, so I know a lot of people are going to be listening to the recording of this, so hello in the future when you're listening to this. But for those that are on the call, I hope that we can open it up towards the end and share some comments and ask questions. So the title of class tonight is Five Tips to Self-Management. And the title kind of I don't think it's the best title, but there's no other way to really describe what we're going to talk about, because we're going to be talking about some deeper concepts, which is, if anyone who is my student in the coaching program or anyone that understands the way that I talk about things, that's usually where I feel the most comfortable is going as deep as possible. I just got off the phone with one of my students, and you know, I was speaking about going a little bit deep. With this class, we're going to go there. We're going to get deeper into these subject matters. But I was talking to one of my new students tonight, and we went a little bit deep, and we really went to a place where we could provoke change in someone. And I think it's really important. I just want to kind of preface the class with, it's really important to know that the reason that you're in Destroy the Hairdresser, whether you're in coaching or you're just part of the forum, or you've graduated or you're still going, whatever it is, that if you're not constantly working on yourself in a way that changes who you are at the seed level, if you're not constantly working on yourself in a way that gets you to the next level, Destroy the Hairdresser, the program, the people, the community, it's not going to work for you. It's not going to be comfortable. It's going to eventually push you out. You're not going to be happy here. Because it's really important to know that by doing this work, by being part of this community, by being part of these calls, yes, it's nice. It's, you know, it's nice to have the information. It's nice to have the community. But there is something really unique about being part of this program, and I really just, it's kind of my preface of the class, just to recognize that and to appreciate that and to pour yourself into it as much as you can, to give back to the community as much as you can by using the forum, by really communicating with your coach, how can I get to my next level, and by really going into business and into the hair world, the hair industry, and really doing something to make a difference. The reason that we're going to talk about the five tips of self-management is because these five tips are going to help you achieve what I'm talking about. These five tips are going to help provoke a change. At least they should. So some of you, I think a lot of you, if not all of you, answered the poll that I posted. And I said, where could you use a little more help when it comes to self-management? And one of them was, you know, overcoming procrastination. One of them was saying no. One of them was saying yes. Taking care of yourself, creating better organization. And I asked that question because I really wanted to see what I should spend the most time on, and most of you gave, most of you posted that overcoming procrastination is one of the hardest things that you experience when it comes to self-management. Now, this is true for everyone, and it's powerful when we learn why, and hopefully you're really listening to what I'm saying, not just to the words that I'm saying, but really feeling what I'm saying, because procrastination is one of the deadliest things that humans go through, because it really gets us to not get to our next, it really puts us in a place of spinning our wheels and not getting to our next level. And as I told someone earlier tonight, we only have 100 years to live, and most of us will have less than that. And hopefully with science, God willing, we will be able to live longer than 100 years. But as of right now, I'm putting that limit on us just to kind of light a fire under our ass to make sure that we're doing what we need to do. So overcoming procrastination, what is that? What does it mean? Why do we all suffer, you know, from it? Why is it a pandemic, you know, essentially? And the reason is, for those that are in the program, the opponent has one tool. The opponent has one real tool, one real objective, and it's to make sure that you do not do what you are supposed to do while you're on this planet, okay? I think that as hairdressers, we overlook the fact that our role in society is, you know, we play a huge role in society in many levels. A, we control how people perceive other people. We control how people feel. We control how people perceive themselves and look in the mirror. We communicate with hundreds if not thousands of people throughout our lifetime, whether they're the same people or different people. And we have a lot of influence over what people do, how people feel, how they act, how they behave, and how they interact with one another. And that's why we put so much emphasis in Destroy the Hairdresser on personal growth and personal change, because eventually, the hair industry is going to keep growing and keep growing and keep growing. It's not going to go backwards. And it's going to get deeper, and it's going to become more intelligent, and it's going to become kind of an intelligence energy of its own. So you're part of something that's really cool. And I think whether, you're part of the industry, you're part of an industry that's really cool, and you're part of a group that sees the industry in a really unique way. And the opponent's job is to make sure that you don't do anything that you were supposed to do. And our job, our only job, is to fight the opponent. Which is ironic, because I think we all think, oh, I have to overcome my procrastination. I have to stop being lazy. And to be honest, if that was the cure for laziness and overcoming procrastination, then we would have all gotten into it by now. But the reality is that we can't just wake up on time, and we can't just overcome procrastination, and we can't just pay our bills on time. We're not doing it. It's not going to happen. But what we can do is fight the opponent. And that's the number one thing that we have to do. Procrastination, a lot of people don't really know what it is. Procrastination, what it is specifically, is getting high. It's getting high off of energy from something you haven't done yet. So, for example, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to start going to the gym tomorrow. I immediately get high from talking about it, from thinking about it. I'm excited about it. I have all intentions of going. But because I got high from the energy of just saying it, I'm not going to do it. I already got what I was looking for. I already got the rush that I was looking for. And that's what the opponent wants you to do. The opponent wants you to experience immediate gratification from the idea, so that all that you are left with is the feeling of the idea and not the action itself. What am I saying? When we get energy, when we experience that rush from talking about when we're going to do something, it is the first sign that we will not do it, and that turns into procrastination. Oh, I'm going to get my finances under control. I'm going to organize my desk. I'm going to, I'm going to start waking up early. I'm going to all these things that give us energy from the idea. We never do them because we already got the energy. Why would I go to the gym? I just got the energy from the idea. I don't need to go do it now. I already feel good. Or if someone says, I want to open a business, I'm going to be a business owner, I'm going to be a hair boss, I'm going to be in charge of my life, finally I'm going to stop working for other people. The idea is wonderful. Many people have that idea. No one does it. Very rarely do they do it, unless someone's pushing them, which is one of the lessons in this program. Unless someone's pushing them because they got high from the idea. So how do you solve this problem, right? How do you not get immediate gratification from just the idea of doing something? The number one thing, the best way to fight the opponent, and the best way to overcome procrastination is to not talk about what you need to do or what you're going to do. Not talking about it with anyone. Not sitting with your friends and brainstorming or sharing ideas and dreams. Not doing that. Not getting high off the energy anymore. So if you're like, okay, I'm going to organize my desk tomorrow. Okay. No one needs to know. We don't need to post it on Facebook. We don't need to tell our spouse. We don't need to spread the energy everywhere to get everyone else's approval and opinions and support or whatever we're looking for. We keep it to ourselves. And by doing this, some of you are going to understand this, some of you are going to have a hard time. But by doing this, you're going to be able to wake up the next day and go and clean the desk and then get energy from it. Go and organize the office. Go to the gym. Go start your diet because you didn't already get the energy. I know, again, a little bit of a deep concept, but very important. It's practical. It's extremely important to conceal what you are about to do from everyone. The only people that you can communicate what you're going to do with would be your coach or maybe one person that could help you fulfill it, right? But to go, you know, to tell your spouse that, oh, I'm going to go to the gym tomorrow, tell your friend, oh, I'm going to the gym tomorrow, do you want to go with me? And then the reality is all that energy is worn off, and you're not going to go, not only are you not going to go to the gym, but you're also going to feel like shit because of it. Because you said you were going to go, and now you're like, oh, I never went. Procrastination is just getting energy up front instead of actually getting energy from the action. So I'm asking you again, it's a little bit different. I'm asking you to do something a little bit different because obviously no one else is figuring it out. But this is what you need to start doing. Conceal, hide, do not communicate what you are doing with so many people. And then when you are done, when you've gone to the gym and you feel good, or you've organized your desk, or you've paid your bills, or whatever it is that you didn't talk about that whole time, and you just did it, and then you received the energy, then celebrate it with the people around you. Then share with other people, you know, I finally went to the gym. I finally got my desk organized. I finally started paying my bills on time. I finally budgeted to get myself out of debt. That's a different conversation. That's an inspirational conversation. It's a motivational conversation. It's a conversation that elevates other people around you. Otherwise, everyone's just getting high from the energy. That never happened. There's multiple layers to this. If you have a coach, this is a very dangerous way to live. Most people live this way. So you can talk more about that with your coach. There's a concept, it's a spiritual concept, but it's practical, very practical, that if you reveal one, you conceal two. Now, I've only talked about this with some people, but if you reveal one, you conceal two, and if you conceal two, you reveal one. Okay, what does this mean? If I reveal one, I conceal two. What does that mean? That means that when I talk about something, or I'm exposing something, I'm talking about going to the gym, I'm actually concealing more energy. I'm not getting what I actually need, right? And when I conceal one, when I don't talk about it, I actually reveal two. So when I conceal it, when I don't talk about it, when I conceal the energy, I actually receive more when I don't talk about it. Again, there's a concept called conceal one, reveal two, and reveal one, conceal two. If I talk about something, I get less energy. If I reveal something, I conceal two. If I don't talk about something, if I conceal it, I reveal two. I gain more from it. Okay, this is how we overcome procrastination. Kind of a strange concept. You're going to have to let it digest. I'm assuming I'm going to have questions at the end. If you're listening to the recording, you can ask your coach about this concept. Or if you get it, I'd love to hear what you think about it. But we're going to move on from procrastination. The only way to overcome procrastination is by concealing what you're going to do, not talking about it, not getting energy from it up front, or making a long-term investment. The next thing for one of the tips, tip number two, I combined two of them, right? So on the poll that I asked on the forum, I said, you know, do you have trouble saying yes or do you have trouble saying no? So on number two, we're going to talk about trouble saying yes and no. Again, the opponent's very specific to each person. There are people on the call, and there are people in the world, and there are people in our program, and there are people in government, and there are people on the other side of the planet where their opponent tells them to say no to everything. And these people experience a very limited life, right? Their opponent convinces them that it's safe. They're safer this way. Don't say yes to anything. Stay in your box. You know, new is bad. Or there are people out there, ourselves or other people, where the opponent makes us say yes to everything, and we're drained, and we're exhausted, and we're spent. And we start to actually, you know, saying yes to everything, we start to judge everyone because we feel like they're taking energy from us. So the opponent is very specific to each individual. The opponent's going to attack some individuals by saying, say no to everything. That individual needs to say yes, start saying yes. And the individual that says yes to everything has to start saying no. This is how, you know, people that are looking for work-life balance, or they're looking for balance, this is how you create balance. You do the opposite of what your opponent wants you to do. That's how you create balance. The opponent tells you to do this, you say, no, I'm not doing that. The opponent says, don't do that, and you say, yes, I'm going to do it. This is what creates balance. This is how we overcome saying yes, or we overcome saying no. For those of you in the program, hopefully you identified, or if not yet, are going to identify how you want to feel. That's a big part of our program. How do you want to feel? And once you identify that, you can start using that feeling to determine yes or no to anything. If you realize that you want to feel in control, and someone asks you to do something that makes you feel a little bit too out of control, then now you know. Do I say yes or do I say no? Does this action, does this thing that someone's asking me to do get me closer to how I want to feel? Sometimes we're going to say, no, it doesn't, but I still need to do it, and that's fine. But again, this is all about balance, and it's all about, you know, finally being honest and clear with yourself. So now when you say yes or no, even if you like it or you don't, you decided. You're in control. I have down here that for some reason, Americans especially, I always talk about Americans specifically because we have extreme guilt issues and we feel that we have to do everything all the time and stay busy in order to be worth anything. And this is a very disrespectful way of living for yourself. And our inability to control our yes and our no is a really painful way to live. And it not only does it affect us, but it affects everyone around us. You know, when we say no all the time, we affect everyone around us. When we say yes all the time, we also affect everyone around us. Now, one is not better or worse. They both can do damage, and they both can be beneficial. But it's really about getting back in control of taking care of yourself. I'm going to say, I want to do that, but I'm going to have to say no because I'm really trying to take care of myself. I really don't have the time, and I'm not going to do that. Fun. The world is not going to fall apart, and that person is going to be okay. And to say no to things, or I'm sorry, to say yes to things, I don't usually do these things, but I'm going to get outside of my comfort zone. I'm going to try to do that. The world will change. The world will open up in different ways. So it's very important to control that yes and no again and to really use how you want to feel to determine that. I have here taking care of oneself as my third tip. That no one seems to do when I talk to them. Taking care of oneself. What does this mean? I always kind of go back to I always go back to this idea of I'm losing my train of thought. I always go back to this idea of the oxygen mask during the flight service when the flight attendant is giving the announcement. And they're talking about the oxygen mask that will, you know, if there's an emergency landing, the oxygen mask will fall. I'm sorry, changing cabin pressure, right? The oxygen mask will fall. And you are required to put it on yourself before it assisting other people. Now, that is a life and death situation in some cases. And the protocol is that you take care of yourself first. So in a life and death situation, a group of people are saying you have to put the oxygen mask on yourself first before assisting others in a life and death situation. So when we're not in life and death situations, why do we feel it's any different? If the worst case scenario is that I still have to take care of myself first, then the best case scenario should still be I have to take care of myself first, right? So this is one of the biggest weapons that the opponent has. One of the biggest weapons the opponent has is to get you to spend all of your time believing that you have to take care of everyone else around you before you take care of yourself. And this can be many different things to other people, right? But no matter what it is, this is not correct. if you are doing this, you are usually not even giving them proper energy. You're actually not even taking care of them. If we're honest with ourselves, most of us are, when we do this, are doing more damage than not. How many of us find ourselves jumping into other people's lives? We're helping them. They need us. And they don't really need us, but it makes us feel good. And then we blame them, we get mad at them, we judge them. They're taking energy from me, how dare they? But we're not taking care of ourselves first. If we were taking care of ourselves first, if we were putting ourselves first, if we were doing the things in our day that made us feel good and got us closer to how we wanted to feel in our life, then we would be able to give people energy properly without feeling exhausted. We would be able to put the oxygen mask on ourselves and simply put the oxygen mask on the other person, and then both be okay. Nothing else is really required. What everyone needs to start doing, everyone, myself included, is that you need to start doing one thing a day that takes care of yourself. And by taking care of yourself, I mean really gets you closer to how you want to feel in your life. You want to feel powerful, you need to do one thing a day that gets you closer to that feeling. You want to feel confident, you do one thing a day that gets you closer to that feeling. You want to feel sexy, you have to do one thing a day that gets you closer to that feeling. But not only that, you need to do one thing a day, one thing a week, and one thing a month. Okay? The opponent's going to go crazy. It's going to make you feel guilty. It's going to make, you know, it's going to make you think other people are judging you for spending too much money and time on yourself. This is fine. That is fine. It is your choice if you want to listen to that voice. If you're in coaching with us, you know that we don't play that game. But that voice is false, and it is a total lie. And you need to start doing this. One thing a day, one thing a week, one thing a month. One thing a day, those are small things. One thing a week, those are a little bit bigger. And one thing a month, those are bigger things. Maybe once a month it's vacation. Maybe once a week it's a massage. And maybe once a day it's, you know, you love tasting new wines. You know, taste a different wine every night. Or maybe you want to stop at a new restaurant every night before you go home from work. Whatever it is. Whatever it is for you. And then when people come to you and they need you, or they need help or they need assistance, then you're full of energy. You're full of energy to properly give them. Then you can properly give them what they need. And you don't feel empty when you're done because you spent your time fulfilling yourself. And that person actually gets what they need. It's a different type of consciousness. This is also true with employees and owners. I know so many owners that don't take care of themselves, and then they wonder why they judge and hate their staff, or they get mad, or they get reactive. It's like, well, at some point, whatever your excuse is, which we have a lot of those, whatever your excuse is, that's not helping you. And for some reason, if your excuse has helped you and made you feel better, then they would have worked by now. But the reality is, owners that own businesses, you need to take care of yourself. You owe it to your employees. Take care of yourself. You owe it to your employees to be happy and fulfilled and put yourself first so that they can have someone properly leading the business and they can properly make a living and properly connect to something that they can be part of. But if you're not going to take care of yourself, your business is going to fall short, your staff's going to walk out on you, people are going to have issues with you, everyone's going to start judging. This is the number one leading cause of gossip. Gossip is just a lack of taking care of yourself. Call it a People think, oh, gossip is what bad, you know, gossip is what happens when, you know, just certain people gossip more than others. No, certain people take care of themselves more than others. And when you take care of yourself, there is no need to gossip. So, very important. This is extremely, extremely important. And the last point about taking care of yourself, stop being a victim. Stop telling people that you don't have time to take care of yourself. Stop telling people you don't have money to take care of yourself. Stop telling people I have to be home for my kids. I have to be home for my husband or my wife. None of this is true. You don't have to do anything. And yes, you do have money. And yes, you do have time. It's just the opponent. It's just bullshit. And it's just a way that you think makes you feel better and justifies why you can't take care of yourself properly. the only person that you are hurting in the long run is you, but you're also hurting everyone around you with your victim behavior. I can't do this because of this. I can't do this. You know, I can't go on vacation because you don't have the time or the money. And okay, that's the life that you want to live. That sounds awful. It's also not true, but you believe it, so who am I to argue? It's really about taking care of yourself and changing how your belief systems around it. Stop with the guilt. Stop with the victim guilt. No one cares. No one's buying into it. There's a reason we love following people on Instagram that are always on vacation, always doing things. We're not sitting there going, oh, they should feel guilty about their life. We're just sitting there wanting their life. So no one cares. No one looks at anyone else and says, I want them to feel guilty. That is truly an emotion that we only put on ourselves. No one else does that. And we go, oh, my mom makes me feel guilty. My family makes me feel guilty. No, they don't. You just feel guilty. You know, they might miss you and they want to see you, but you're the one that feels guilty. They didn't lay the guilt on. So we have to stop being a victim. We have to stop looking around and being like, oh, everyone else is doing this to me and I don't know why. And, oh, they make me feel guilty about everything. No, they don't. You are doing this all to yourself. The minute you can start doing this, the minute you can start changing this victim mentality, you will eventually start taking care of yourself and you'll be much happier and everyone around you will be happier. And when they need something, you'll be able to give it without feeling exhausted. And again, going back to salon owners, very, very important. Going back to parents, very, very important. Going back to salon owners that have kids, this is extremely important. Number four, creating better organization. This is something that a lot of you said we did not have. This is something that I have learned over time. I'm still learning, but I actually learned from Sid. Sid's a very organized individual. In fact, I'm sitting at my desk right now, and if you were able to see what I see, you would see two very similar desks in style and brand, but two very different situations happening on both of them. So my desk is a little bit more messy and it's organized, but in, you know, my messy version of organization. And then Sid's desk is perfectly organized. Everything has a place. Everything is organized and nice and neat. If someone sat down here, they would be able to find what they needed and use it. If someone sat down at my desk, they would not know what was going on. I would know what was going on, but they would not. Something I've learned is that there's no right way to organize your life. And I think that people spend a lot of time, oh, I read this book about organization. Oh, I love how they do it. And we always fall short. Maybe we do it for like a week or a month. We always fall short because it's not who we are. It's not how we organize. It's a version of organization, but it's not how we organize. So what I want to talk about in this section is finding your own version of organization is way more important than mimicking someone else's version of organization. And the way that we go about this, the first step is to plan. Okay, when we go into war, we create a plan. When we want to have kids or we are pregnant, we create a plan, pregnancy plan. Usually, we create a plan about kids, even if it's just a mental plan. When we go into a consultation with our staff or with our clients, we have a plan. And if we don't, that's where we're going to get to that being the problem. When we go into a meeting with our boss or when we go into a meeting with a coworker, we usually have a plan. And if we don't have a plan, when we don't have a plan in those areas or in other areas of our lives, that is where we fall short. That is where failure starts to seep in little by little. It's not that you're not unorganized. It's that you're not planning. When you plan your day, something that I do, some people will do this, some people won't. I'm not saying that you all should do it. This is something that I personally have found helps me, that I will plan my day the evening before my next day. I'll plan my next day. So tonight, I will plan tomorrow. And when I do that, I naturally start organizing. So the plan is actually the secret to organization. The minute I start planning for tomorrow, then it becomes organized because I organize it. I'm organizing it in my head. I'm organizing it into this plan, and then naturally what takes place is organization. But when I just try to organize things with no plan, then really we're left with, I don't know what we're left with. We're just left with a tidier space, but no actual growth of any kind. We haven't achieved anything. To be better organized requires a better plan. This is truly what organization is. Organization is planning. We don't need to spend all this time, I have to buy this calendar and I have to sync this calendar here and I need to, those are tools to stay organized, but you need to create a plan. You need to create a plan. What is your plan for your business? What is your plan to make more money? What is your plan to for tomorrow? What is your plan to, drop the kids off on time and get to work and get what you need done to get done in those 24 hours? What is the plan? You don't need a better planner. You don't need to take a class, or read a book on how to organize. You need to create a plan. And when you do this naturally, because we are problem-solving, critically thinking humans, we will naturally create better organization. So hopefully you're recognizing that everything we talk about to actually achieve that one thing, you actually have to go before the problem. For example, procrastination, we have to go before the problem and not talk about it. Better organization, we have to go before the problem and create a plan. Taking care of yourself, we have to go before the problem and get rid of the guilt. Everything is about, everything that we're learning is to solve the problem. We have to realize that the problem is an effect. Lack of organization, lack of self-care, lack of overcoming procrastination or saying yes and no, those are all effects of something else. And so what we're talking about is how to change the cause. You want better organization, you create a plan. So the last one that I want to go over is controlling one's schedule. And I think this was the least that everyone had. So it's kind of interesting to me. This is probably one of my biggest ones because my schedule is all over the place. When we're talking about controlling one's schedule, we talk about it last for a very specific reason, because controlling one's schedule is an accumulation of the other four categories. To control your schedule, you need to take care of yourself. To control your schedule, you need to create a plan in order to create better organization. To create or to control one's schedule, you need to learn when to say yes and when to say no. And to control one's schedule, you need to overcome procrastination. So controlling one's schedule is actually the effect of all the other things. Once I start taking care of myself, once I start really finding balance in my yes and my no, once I start really doing these things, I will be in control of my schedule. I will be in control of my schedule completely. I will say no when I want to. I will say yes when I want to. I will say no when it's necessary. I will say yes when it's necessary. I will schedule in time for myself. That will take up space. That will take up space, and people will have to work around that because that comes first. I will put things in that I need to get done. Maybe I'm not telling people I'm going to the gym every day, but it's on my schedule, and I'm in control of that. I'm not sharing it because I don't want to get the energy from it. I'm just going to go do it, and then I'll celebrate it later. I'm going to create a plan. I'm going to create better organization, which will give me better control of my schedule. So these are the five tips that I have for better self-management. All five of these tips that I've given you, I guess I gave you four, and they all accumulated into number five. But all of these tips that I gave you, I do. Sid does them, and I've learned about them for the past 10 years, and they've morphed and changed, and I've finally found a way to communicate them to everyone that I think is a little more, in my opinion, digestible. So I'm going to open up the call. I'm going to unmute everyone. There are a few people on the call, so I would really love if we could take turns asking questions or making comments. What did you like about the class? What are you struggling with? And before you ask your question, if you could just announce your name, and then I will, and that will help me pick the person that can speak first. So I'm going to unmute everyone. Okay, so anyone who's on the call is currently unmuted, and if you'd like to say something, just say your name first, and we'll go from there.
Courtney's here. Hi.
Hi, Courtney.
Hi. I really liked what you said about procrastination. I have a big problem with that, and I thought that was really interesting. I had a question,
like,
I guess,
it?
On what you – about the high of it, and because we've been trying to work on not talking about stuff as much, and it just made sense. So I had a question on what you were saying gossip, like, it actually is.
Oh, right. So gossip is actually just a lack of self-care. So gossip is usually when we're trying to get energy from other people and everything around us in an unbalanced way. But if we were taking care of ourselves, the need for gossip would probably, you know, it would die. It wouldn't be necessary.
Okay.
So take care of yourself first, gossip goes away. Okay. And when you find someone gossiping, you should tell them to take care of themselves first. You should tell them that trick. Does anyone else have questions or comments? All right. So thanks for be on the call, everyone. Thank you, Courtney, for sharing and asking your question. And I will be talking to some of you in the next week. Sid and I do have a holiday coming up tomorrow. So from tomorrow all the way into the weekend, we're going to have spotty reception and not be able to get back to everyone right away. So just everyone should know that. But please continue to text your coach, email your coach, and we will talk to everybody very soon. Have a great night.